Today in our second reading, we've really been hearing for a couple weeks now the different passages from the book of Revelation. This is, of course, the time where the apostle John, the beloved disciple, is receiving these visions of the heavenly realities, the end times, the truths of the fulfillment of all that's happening now. How is all that we live now in our life, the world, the sufferings, how is this all going to come to fulfillment in God in his second coming when he comes back to bring everything back into himself, everything back into fullness? Our second reading today has this powerful image of what that's going to look like. We hear today from Revelation, I also, John saying this, I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this image of the end times describes the reality of God, Jesus, the eternal bridegroom, who is receiving his bride, the church, us, after we've been purified from our sin, after we've been sanctified from this world, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly reality of the church that's coming to be received, adorned in the glory of how we've been saved through the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. It's this powerful moment, and it's, of course, this marital image, nuptial image. I found this very interesting because I've been thinking a lot recently about marriages because it's kind of wedding season, you know. Summer is the time for weddings. So the good weather's coming around. So I'm in the midst of doing a lot of marriage prep for couples, and I've got some even weddings in my family that I'm going to be going to and celebrating over the next couple months. Maybe it's the same thing with you and your family. You have a son, a daughter, an extended relative who's getting married that you're going to be going to participate in their wedding coming up. And I thought it very appropriate, of course, not only because this image that God gives us today in our second reading, but also because of the gospel passage today. Jesus gives us this new commandment, which is at the heart of the sacrament of marriage. Love one another as I have loved you. This, of course, is a commandment that all of us are called to live as Christians, to love one another as God has loved us. But particularly, this is the commandment that we are called to live out through the vocation that we're called to in our life, through one of two sacraments. There's two sacraments that we would call the vocational sacraments, basically the sacraments that conform our life to living out this commandment. One of those sacraments is holy orders, where a man lays down his life to give himself in persona Christi to love the church, representing Christ and his healing power, representing the ways in which he wants to sanctify and renew the world. Obviously, you know, we in our own humanity as priests and deacons, bishops, don't have that capacity. We're broken, but God bestows that power upon us to effect transformative change through the sacraments that we take part in. And we are called to love you as Christ loved the church, to image his love for the flock, the church. You know, of course, we've seen some of the woundedness of that this last year, you know, the priesthood being wounded, needing to bring healing. And then, of course, the sacrament of marriage also bearing this reality. I would say even more so, because it's the sacrament that most powerfully images God's love for the world. Love one another as I have loved you. So today I just want to maybe focus on marriage and kind of maybe remind us and ask God to renew us in the truth of this sacrament, which is at the heart of loving the other. It's the sacrament that's the closest to this commandment that God gives us today. And of course, we see that very clearly, the marriage vows, which is the heart of the sacrament of marriage. These vows that image the unconditional love of God, that he's going to give himself completely to us, that he's laid down his life to constantly safeguard our hearts and draw us back to himself in his mercy and love. That love, that unconditional yes, is imaged through the vows that the couples make. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. The same level of faithful, constant love that God gives to us, that's that the man and wife, as they come before the Lord asking for that grace to live in that, yes, image in the world. And if they live in that love, that sacrificial love that they say yes to on their wedding day, they bring that love not only into their family, their kids, but their extended family and the world. It's important for us to remember, really, what is marriage? So the vows are a key ways in which we see this reality of love that God first gives to us as our Father. If we look at marriage, we see that this is the way that God wanted his love to be imaged into the world. Marriage was God's plan from the beginning, not our plan. Marriage is not a thing of this world, even though our culture might want to convince us that that's the case. It's God's primordial sacrament, meaning it's the first sacrament. It's the most powerful way he represents his love in the world. He brings together Adam and Eve, one man, one woman. He's very clear about that in the scriptures. One man, one woman together to give of themselves completely to each other. So as Adam looks at Eve, he says, finally, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and the two shall become one flesh. Just as God becomes one with us in our humanity, laying down his life to save us, just as the husband and wife are being called to do that in their marital love. So marriage being God's plan from the beginning, by which two individuals, a man and a woman, called together from the beginning of eternity by God to become one flesh. And notice, it's all connected with God. I think a lot of times we forget that in marriages. You know, the marriage is all about the couple. Sometimes, you know, there's so much focus on the details and what the couple wants that we forget that really, this is really all God's desire, not the couple's desire. He's actually orchestrated these two individuals, this man and this wife, to come together to be married, to image his love in the world. So really, marriage is the way in which God has called two individuals together, man and woman. They're called by God to work with God, and they're brought together to what? Bring into existence this powerful love between each other, but not just for each other, but that love which what? Brings about a third person, a child, a new creation, a person that's going to exist for all eternity till the end of time, since the moment of conception, a new being, a new life coming into the world, and this powerful reality that parents get to participate in as they enter into marriage, this procreative aspect of marriage that allows the husband and wife to be one with God as he loves. Because you see, it's interesting, this procreative aspect of marriage is a representation of the inner love of God within himself. God the Father pours out his love completely to his Son, Jesus, who receives that love completely and responds back with a full gift of himself in love and obedience to his Father. And that love that they exchange perfectly between each other spirates and creates a third person, which is the Holy Spirit. The love between these two members of the Trinity brings about this third person of the Trinity. Of course, all one God, but three persons. Marriage is representing that love, the love between a man and a woman that comes together to bring about this new life, life being fruitful. If love seeks its own interest, it's not really love. If it's not diffusive, expansive, it's not really love. It's a disguised selfishness. And we struggle, of course, with that in all of the vocations of our life. You know, the priesthood, the married life, the ways in which we see the brokenness in our world around this issue, and particularly just the reality of acknowledging God's plan for marriage as his own, his plan since the beginning of time. So the gift of sexuality being at the center of this powerful sacrament. It's the way in which God represents himself in the world. And so this newness of life comes about through this child. And then also there's a newness between the husband and wife as they say yes to each other. There's actually a new church that's created, a new domestic church, a family of love where the communion of God's love is going to be made present to the world in a new way, in a unique way between this wife and this husband and the children that God bestows upon them. God's unconditional love is being said yes to in a new way in the world. And we see it when we look at a couple who's living in that truth. Now, when we look out on the world today, of course, we oftentimes don't see this reality of love in the marriages around us. You know, we see a lot of the brokenness and woundedness that comes with the evil one who goes after what? He goes after the thing that's the most powerful representation of love. So he goes after marriage. Makes sense why so much of his energy is in twisting the understanding we have of this sacrificial gift that we make to the other in this sacrament of marriage. And he divorces this procreative act from marriage, saying, you know, it's really not about the gift of life that God's bringing about in you. It's not about the love that's diffusive. It's just for yourself. Makes sense why the evil one wants to do that, because it constricts love. It turns us away from self-giving that brings life. And so we look out on the world and we see brokenness. You know, you just got to turn on the TV today and just surf through some channels to see the brokenness of how we've lost a sense of the sacredness of our sexuality, how our sexuality as a man or a woman images the power of God in unique ways in the world. We see the brokenness of marriages that aren't living in this faithful, fruitful, constant love. You know, unfaithfulness, adultery, divorce, pornography, I could go on, and you guys know all these things, you know, contraception, cohabitation, all these things that once again pull our hearts away from this true reality of love that God challenges us all with today. I give you this commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus today is calling us to be renewed in that. You today who are married out there today, the Lord's challenging you to be renewed in the marital vows that you've made, and maybe too to come before God recognizing that there's wounds in your life, maybe in your own marriage. I think many of us are affected by this. Maybe, you know, the wounds of marriage in our parents, our grandparents, our extended family. We're all touched by these wounds in our world today. We live in a very broken culture, and Jesus has the power to heal these wounds of his most important sacrament if we but come before him asking for that grace today, to be renewed in the truth of who we're called to be, this new Jerusalem, coming down a bride adorned with the purity of heart, purified from our selfish desire to give of ourselves one to each other in love, particularly in the sacrament of marriage between husband and wife. So Jesus is challenging you today to seek that healing. Come before him today in the Eucharist, asking for that healing to come about in your marriage. Ask forgiveness for maybe places where there's been places where you've said yes to these things that bring brokenness into this powerful sacrament. Come to confession, receive the healing power of God, his mercy, that's just waiting to restore you in his love. Jesus wants that for all of us today. And it's no wonder we struggle as a church to be alive in the faith, because the sacraments that are at the heart of who we are, that image God's love, are just wounded, are in need of his love. Finally, I just want to say, maybe you're here today and you've got a great marriage, but you look at your family and there's brokenness. Maybe, you know, you parents or grandparents here today, you think about your kids who have fallen away from the church. They're not living this truth of marriage. What do we do as we look out and see that brokenness and we yearn for the wholeness and restoration and the life that comes with living as God has commanded us through his sacraments? What do we do? Just two short things I just want to offer. One is prayer. And I don't just mean passive prayer, because when someone says pray for your kids, I think that can often be frustrating, because it's like, Father Joseph, of course I pray for my kids, and yet God doesn't do anything. I've been praying for them for years and years. It's interesting, with prayer, we're asking for the gift of trust when we pray, especially when we're talking about our kids or grandkids that have fallen away from the church. God, give me trust in your providence that you love my kids more than I do, that you want this reality of truth and goodness that's present in the sacraments for their life. Help me to believe that. And as I pray, asking for that trust, it becomes a place where I have to act upon it. I don't just sit there and pray and say, okay, God, you have to do this. No, I am invited into making that a reality. So when we pray for God's providence in our life, we're saying, God, as I trust in you, I believe that you're gonna guide me, protect me, and encourage me to take responsibility for what I can do in my life, which is live a life of holiness that's going to bear fruit. So you parents out there, you might ask yourself, when my kids look at my marriage, do they see a marriage alive in unconditional love? In all aspects of your life, in the big things, you know, in your ways in which you love each other and are faithful, but also in the little things. Do you guys raise your voice against each other? Do you do small acts of kindness and love, encouraging and blessing each other, praying together as spouses? If you're not doing that, your kids look at your marriage and say, hey, you know, I see maybe exterior acts of love, but I don't see the truth of a depth of love that draws me to yearn for that myself. All of us struggle with that in our life. our vocation sometimes being a hollow shell that doesn't really reveal the depth of love that's coming from a relationship with Jesus, where we first received his love and then we can offer it to the world like the commandment God gives us. So I encourage you today to ask for that grace to be renewed as children of God, to be renewed in your marriage, and then ask for the grace of trusting in God as he renews us as a people, especially around this sacrament of marriage. So we ask for this grace for our community, for all the marriages present here today. We ask for God's healing and a restoration of the sacrament of marriage in our world. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.